In the name of Jesus, grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 week ago, it was the fourth Sunday in Advent, and then come sundown, Christmas Eve, the beginning of the festival of the Nativity of our Lord. And that festival lasts 12 days, so it's still Christmas, folks. Go out and buy people you don't know Christmas presents. But so soon after the joy of Christmas, we see the darkness of Christmas. On December 26th, the church observed the feast day of Saint Stephen. Saint Stephen, the first Christian martyr after our Lord Jesus Christ. Saint Stephen, who was stoned to death following his proclamation of Christ. This is recorded in the book of Acts. Then the next day, December 27th, was the feast day of Saint John, the apostle and the evangelist. And John was imprisoned on the Isle of Patmos on account of his faithfulness to the testimony of Jesus Christ as Lord, as Savior, as the one appointed by God to bring salvation and life to a sinful and dying world. John was exiled to Patmos, a Roman prison colony. He suffered for the faith. And then on December 28th, we have the feast day of the Holy Innocents, the babes who were killed in Bethlehem by Herod's soldiers. Herod had sent them to Bethlehem hunting for the Christ, the newborn king of the Jews, so he could have him killed. So soon after the joy of Christmas comes the darkness of Christmas. And that darkness is found even in today's gospel reading for this first Sunday after Christmas. 40 days after the birth of Jesus, Mary and Joseph brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. And there in the temple was a man whose name was Simeon. Church tradition says that he was an elderly man. That we don't know, but it sounds like he may have been. This man was righteous. He was devout. He was devoted to the Lord. He was devoted to God's word. And he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. Israel, the oppressed people of God. Israel, to whom God had promised to send a Messiah, a Savior, a Redeemer, a Deliverer. Israel, Simeon was devoutly waiting for the Messiah to appear. And the Holy Spirit, we are told, was upon him. Here in the church, we are waiting for the reappearance of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit rests upon us. The Holy Spirit placed upon us in our baptism. The Holy Spirit who continually refreshes our faith as we hear the word and receive the sacrament of the altar. We are waiting for the consolation of the new Israel when Christ appears and when sin and death and sorrow and affliction and persecution will be no more. The Holy Spirit is upon us, for we can't believe in Jesus Christ our Lord by our own reason, our own strength. But the Holy Spirit has called us to the faith, gathered us, enlightened us, and made us the people of God. Now, the Holy Spirit had revealed to Simeon that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. We do not know how long it had been since the Holy Spirit had revealed this to him. We do not know how long Simeon had waited. Perhaps with every day when he arose in the morning, he thought to himself, "This may be the day. This may be the day that I see the promised Savior, the one who is going to redeem Jacob from all his iniquities." Simeon was led in the Spirit into the temple where Jesus was. And when Simeon saw Jesus, he took him up in his arms. And he blessed God, he thanked God, he praised God, and said in the words of the Demetus, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word." In other words, your promise, O God, has been fulfilled. I am ready to depart this world. I am ready to enter into the life of the world to come because I have seen the one who is the consolation of Israel. I am holding him in my arms. My eyes have seen your salvation here in the flesh and blood of Mary's son. The salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples. You know, God does not keep it a secret. The birth of this Messiah, the birth of the Redeemer. The angels from heaven proclaim his birth. The shepherds who come to excuse me, I've lost my voice today. Not to mention my mind. The shepherds who came to the stable to see the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. God caused the message of Christ to be proclaimed in all the world, and that message is still proclaimed today. The message of the one who is your salvation, my salvation, the one in whom alone is found rescue from sin and death and hell, the one who alone has gathered us together as the people of God in this place. This Christ, Simeon goes on to say, is a light for revelation to the Gentiles. That's you and me. That's you and me who are not born Jews. You and me who were at one time a people afar off, but whom God has brought near and made members of his own family. Simeon's eyes had seen the salvation who is the glory of God's people Israel, because he is the true and final Israelite who fully keeps God's law, the one who fulfilled all righteousness, everything that God demands for you and for me and for all the world. Now, how would you like to have given birth to your child and have been met by a doddering old man as you were on your way out of the hospital, and he said something like this? Or he said, this baby in your arms is going to be president of the United States someday. May God help him. This baby in your arms is destined for great things. You wouldn't know this man. You would wonder what he was saying, why he was saying this. And so it was with Mary and Joseph. They marveled at what was said about him. Now they knew that Jesus was the Christ. They knew that he was the one who was God in the flesh. They knew that he was the deliverer, because after all, they had experienced the miracle of the incarnation, the miracle of Mary's virginal conception and her birth, her giving birth to the Son of God. But Simeon turned his focus to Mary and said, "And here we have the darkness of Christmas. Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed. And a sword will pierce through your own soul also, Mary. This child is appointed so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed." The fall and rising of many in Israel? How about the fall and rising of many in this world? Their fall, if they fail to believe in the Christ, the Savior whom God has appointed, their rising as they are united by the Holy Spirit to this Christ, given faith in this Christ. He will die. He will go down into the grave, just as you and I will do. But he will be raised again on the third day. And in his resurrection, all Christians are somehow resurrected to newness of life as they are joined to his death and to his life in holy baptism. Fear not, you who have faith in Christ, though you go down into the grave, though you face sorrows and disappointments in life, though grief comes upon you, though affliction comes upon you, you will be lifted up. You indeed have been lifted up, exalted to the status of the sons of God in Christ Jesus, God's own beloved children for the sake of Jesus, who is the only begotten Son of God, Son of God by nature. But this sign will be opposed. We can see that in the story of Herod's attempt to murder Jesus. We can see that in the way our Lord was tempted by the devil in the wilderness. We can see that by the way the Pharisees and Sadducees and temple officials opposed Jesus. We can see that in Judas's betrayal of Jesus. We can see that in his own sufferings and death. And there at the cross, Mary's soul was pierced as she saw her son, her firstborn, suffer and die in a most horrible way. God does not keep his doings, his workings of salvation secret. There was a prophetess named Anna. You're named after her, I bet. In the temple, she spent her days and nights there, worshiping, fasting, spending time in prayer. And she came up at this very hour and saw Jesus and began to give thanks to God, for the Holy Spirit had revealed to her also that here is the one who is the redemption of Jerusalem, and she began speaking to him of all who were waiting that redemption. The church does that every Sunday in the proclamation of the word, in the liturgy, in the prayers, in the celebration of the Eucharist, Christ's body and blood given and shed for his people, given and shed for the sins of all the world. Now, do you ever wish that you could have been in the temple to see Jesus brought there by Mary and Joseph? Do you wish that you could have seen Simeon's old, crinkled face light up with joy as at last God's promise to him had been fulfilled? Well, you have something even better than that. You have the very fulfillment of God's promises as you partake of the flesh and blood of the one born to Mary, the flesh and blood of the one who suffered and died for your sins, the flesh and blood of him who was raised again in glory on the third day and sits at the right hand of the throne of God. I'm going to stop the sermon here and ask what everyone received for Christmas. So we'll start with Francis. No, we won't. We won't. But I'll tell you what you received at that first Christmas and what you continue to receive as you gather around God's Word and the sacraments. You receive Jesus. You receive Him who is the light and the life of the world. Now you don't take Him up in your arms and behold upon Him, but you take His body into your hands and your mouth as He gives you that body for the forgiveness of your sins. You take His blood into your mouth and you are nourished with that life-giving blood. And as we sing at the end of the service of the sacrament, we can depart in peace, because God has fulfilled His word to us. That word is not a word of condemnation, which is what we justly deserve. That word is a word of peace and blessing, a word of life. And we can go forth from this place confident that we are indeed the people of God. We can go forth from this place confident that God will never leave us nor forsake us. Confident that God loved us so much that He gave His Son over to the death of the cross. What better Christmas gift than that? And think of that gift as being opened when I unveil the elements prior to the words of institution. Think of this gift that you receive, not just Christmas Day, Christmas Eve, but every time we gather for worship. The gifts of God for you, the life of Christ for you, the forgiveness of all of your sins for you, accomplished by this one who was born of Mary, who was held in Simeon's arms, and at whose presence Anna rejoiced, telling all the people who awaited the Redeemer of Jerusalem, telling them, He is here. He has arrived. And thus it is with you. Thus it is with me. Thus it is with all the people of God who look to Christ in faith and know that He is indeed the one sent by God. He is indeed the fulfillment of everything that God has promised you. And God delivers on His promises. Your baptism is proof of that. So do not fear, dear Christian people. The Lord is near you. The Lord is with you. He is with you always, even to the point of the valley of the shadow of death. And beyond that valley lies a glorious light which we cannot imagine, the light of Christ, who became truly man for you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, your Savior.